God has something to say to us this morning. I want to come off the back of what was preached last week by Mike. Who remembers last week? It was a tremendous sermon of God's provision, of bringing some clarity to when you know you come a Christian and you're all like going to the seaside like the men and the women came out of Egypt, and then you realize that everything is not just good weather and beach towels and going swimming, that there was an army coming. They had come out of Egypt. They had been in slavery, in bondage. They had been under a taskmaster, and he had let them go because God went at them. And I just want to, I sort of was toying around with a title for this morning, and I was half afraid to give this title, but I'm like, just because maybe it can be misconstrued in your mind or someone else's mind. But again, I'm finished. Hopefully, you will know what I'm talking about. But I just want to talk about the God of war. And when Pharaoh had God's people bound up, he was an enemy. He was the master of constraints. He was the master of putting them in shekels, of treating them roughly, treating them badly. It was typical of a taskmaster building his own empire at the expense of people. And not only was it just at the expense of people, but this was at the expense of God's people. Those who he'd chosen, those who he had made incredible promises to, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had delivered his plan, although they didn't fully understand everything, but the plan of the redemption of mankind was coming through the lineage of this people. And now there was a taskmaster. There was an enemy who was mistreating them, building his own empire, who was connected to the occult. He was connected to worshipping devils and demons and warlocks were being used, and magicians and wizards, all to bring about this power base that was from the kingdom of darkness. And it says this, that God's people started to call out to him. Maybe they were just so browbeaten that one day someone says, what about the God of our father Jacob? What about the God of our fathers Isaac and Abraham? Didn't he give promises? Because you know sometimes when you're browbeaten and life has slapped you around, we've a tendency to forget the great promises that God has actually made to you and me. But they cried out to God, and God started on going to war. God decided to go to war against Pharaoh, against the kingdom of darkness that was behind Pharaoh, to release his people. Now, before we even get anywhere, I want you to know, God is not at war with you. God is not at war with mankind. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus up to die on a cross so that you and I could come into close, intimate relationship with God. But having said that, he is a God of war. He is a God that goes to war when an enemy of any description tries to thwart the plans that he has for you and I, his people. You think you're left all alone in your slavery or your bondage or your constraints, but God is like, I'm at war with what's at war against you. I will fight on your behalf. I am for you. So in Exodus 14, Moses is after leaving. He is going to the Red Sea. He's standing at the Red Sea. The people are giving out to him. Pharaoh is on the way to say, I'm bringing them back. What am I doing? I must have lost my mind to let them go. And yet he had gone through and brought absolutely incredible judgment of God upon his own nation. And in it all, God was going to show him that he is the God of heaven. And he's going to show his glory even to Pharaoh and his might. But the people were given out. In verse 12, is this not what the word that we told you in Egypt, saying to Moses, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? And Mike brought it out last week about, like, sometimes, like, we'd rather stay in the constraints and the bondage and the slavery that we're in rather than move forward and try to trust God. For it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt and serve the Egyptians rather than die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, this is what I want us to get. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never, ever see no more. Why? The Lord will fight for you and you shall have peace. The Lord will fight for you and you shall have peace. Therefore, be not afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will accomplish for you today. The enemy that you see today, you will never see again. It's incredible. They were in slavery for over 430 years, the Bible says. These were the people that were broken. Don't read the story and just think, or it was easy to walk out of everything that they knew. Even brokenness that's familiar can seem more enticing than brokenness that you never know, or potentially failure or potential letdown. They were a people with a poor mentality. They had a poor view of themselves, a poor view of God. How do you know this? Because he says, we'd rather settle for Egyptian slavery. How do I know they have a poor view of God? Because they thought God would bring them out to the desert to die there. Moses had encountered God, and God says, you are going to be the one that brings freedom to this people. We can go into Moses' story, but eventually he let them go, and they were in this place, and they were saying, let us go back because we're going to die here. When the enemy is on your tail, like their enemy was on their tail, they were saying, we go back before they slaughter us out here. We'll go back to doing life the old way. We'll go back to living in our poor mentality. We'll go back to being just poor old slaves. And I tell you, my friend, 20 years of leadership, I am incredibly shocked at the amount of Christians that Jesus has died for. And at times, including myself, that I'd rather settle for the old way of doing things than the new life that he offers me. And sometimes the new life means leaving Pharaoh and leaving the old way and stepping out into a wilderness and trusting God that he's not going to let me die there. But if I don't step out, I'm always just going to know the old life. When the enemy is on your tail and he wants to bring you back to a place where there's no hope and there's no future, what happens when Pharaoh is on our tail? What's our responses to God when Pharaoh is on your tail? What is that one thing that has you in bondage, in slavery, that has constraints on our lives, that doesn't let us move, grow, expand, believe? What's the one thing that is your enemy? Can I tell you that the God of war went to war on your and my behalf? When he went to the cross, he said, it's finished. You can now have victory in my name with my life running through you. What wants to rob your future? Name that sucker today. What wants your future? The Apostle Paul asked this question. To all things that was going on, he says this, what should my response be? He says, if God is for me, who can be against me? He nails it down. He goes, right, I know I'm going through all these hardships, and I'll get into them in a few minutes, but if God is for me, who can be against me? And I tell you, let's go to the second half of that. Who can be against you? What can be against you? What can stand against you? But what comes against you? What comes against you? What's the Pharaoh that's on your tail that says you're not going to go any further? wants the thing in our hearts and in our minds that every time we go to take a thing forward, a step forward, that there's this coming against us and it knocks us back or at least keeps us in the same place. What is it? And Paul is saying, there's all these things coming against me, but they're not going to stand against me. But he named the things that were coming against him. He named the very thing. It could be anger. It could be bitterness. It could be poor mentality, slave mentality. It could be bondage mentality. It could be, look, I'm just darn lazy. And I don't want to be stretched. I don't want to grow. I'd just rather stay the way I am. It could be a million things, but you know and I know what my constraints and my Pharaoh is. That knocks at my door when I'm discouraged or disappointed or let down and go, do you want to come back to Egypt? Leek and onion soup? Building the pyramids? Scorching sun? The crack of the whip? We think we become Christians. And forgive me if I've ever led you down this path in any of my teaching or preaching. We think, oh, everything is going to be okay now, I'm a Christian, oh, happy day. It is, your sins are forgiven. But there's still things that want to come against us. There's still things that want to keep us in the old life. There's even things in church that would drive us back to the old life. When we get hurt, or we think everything is going to be rosy. And all of a sudden we're faced with challenge and opportunities to grow and opportunities to give and opportunities to serve and opportunities to get beyond anything that's going on within our heart. And we go, I want to go back to Egypt. Keith Green sang a great song, "So You Want to Go Back to Egypt." But Paul experienced things coming against him. Listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians 4a. He said, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." And Paul is saying, look, the victory is in the cross, but I still want to tell you, I want to tell you some things that I'm pressed on every side. But here's the thing, I'm not crushed. He says, I'm perplexed, I'm confused at times, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. Paul, here's the way the Message translation says it. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left their side. We've been thrown down, bashed down, but we're not being broken. Incredible, isn't it? Incredible that these metaphors, I'm pressed in on every side, but I'm not completely cornered. I'm not without room to get out of this because God provides room for me to get out of being pressed in. Wonderful. I'm not being cornered without movement. I'm never being driven into the place where I'm being surrendered. I'm bewildered. But I'm never totally lost. Do you ever say when someone says to you, what's the story with that? I'm just at a loss. He says, you may be bewildered, but I've never been totally lost. I've been hounded by my enemy, by my foe, but his mercy has not left me. I've been knocked down, I've been knocked down, but I've not been permanently grounded. Even though he knew all of these hardships, even though he knew his enemy was on his tail, even though he knew he was being pressed in, listen to the tone of victory in some of these scriptures, our Romans. He says this, the same apostle, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Shall hardship? Shall persecution? Shall famine or recession? Shall nakedness or danger or the sword? Shall these separate us from the love of God? He says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. He goes on, here's the victory. He says, because he doesn't deny his circumstances. But he says, I'm convinced. He says, I've nailed my stake into the ground. I am convinced of some things in life. I might be fully on the ball all the time, but there's some things I am totally convinced of. And this is what I'm convinced of, that neither death nor life, Neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He says, look, I'm pressed, I'm beaten down, I'm battered. I might be on the ground, but I'm not grounded. But he says, I want to tell you this, I am convinced of this, that God is for me. And therefore, if God is for me, who can stand against me? Amen. He says, look, this is what the guys didn't experience or could have experienced in the desert, because when they got over the other side of the sea, believe me, they start singing songs, and I'll get to that in a minute. Paul confidently said, now all of these things, how many heartaches have you been through? Please put up your hand if this resonates. Many broken disappointments, failures, and you're still here. You beautiful thing, you're still here. Many times did you feel I'm out of the race, but you're still here. You were still lifting hands this morning. Many times have you had no money and you go, no one cares, but you're still here. Why? Because God came true. And that's why Paul could say, I've seen it. I've been in the rivers. He was beaten out, put out to die outside the town. He was beaten. He was given whips. He was thrown in prison. He goes, I'm still here. Why? Because I'm convinced. I'm convinced that nothing will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And believe me, it's His grace more than how strong we are. Paul says, I am convinced. And here's Moses and all the Israelites up against it. The enemy on their tail. And God says, stand still. I will fight on your behalf. I will fight. Moses stands up to the people. See, Moses, like Paul, became convinced. He could stand up in front of 2 million people without PA system, by the way. Do not be afraid, he says. He wasn't shaking at the knees anymore. He was standing up. Do not be afraid. Imagine, what did he say? Do not be afraid. Again, it got down to the back. It was like, God is with us. We've nothing to fear. Again, the Chinese whispers. Again, it got down the back. It was like, everyone was getting convinced, like with the same conviction that Moses said it. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. Stand still. See, and you will see the deliverance of God. Wait on God, and you will see the deliverance that He brings. Because the enemy that's before you, you will never see anymore. Why? Because God will fight for you and me. In verse 10, it says that they were terrified and they cried out to God. Here's the steps of knowing that God is going to fight for you. First of all, call out to Him. In the midst of hardship, they cried out to God. They cried out to God. And the Lord ran to them. And when their enemy and their Pharaoh and their constraints come against us, guys, let's do what they do. Call out to God. Call out to God. They cried out to God. They ran to God. When the enemy or our world is crashing down around us, where do we run to? I'm encouraging us to run to God. Listen to what Psalm 18:10 says. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. Look, you can run to the arms of your husband or your wife or a friend and they'll deal for a short time. But when you run to God, you're safe. You have peace in your heart. You have peace in your mind. It's like when the world is crashing around you, just try to gather yourself into some place of quietness or some place of being away from it and saying, Lord, here I am, I need you. Lord, I need your peace. And my enemy is after me. I'm like the deer panting for the water because I need to get into the water because the enemy knows my scent. But when I'm in the water, the scent is loose, is lost. I remember years ago in the flats, I used to live in the long block at Dolphin's Barn, and there was a dog called Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan sounds like a snooker player in the 80s, but anyway, it was the biggest German shepherd you could imagine, and they were feeding him all types of stuff, and so he wasn't like, you know, like you see German shepherds, and they're lean and fit, and just, you know, they're just like able to do their job, but this, it was like, it was hairy, they didn't treat him right. And I used to come in from the barn, and every time this dog went for me, now I'm telling you, I'm not the bravest person in the world. But when people would walk by him, but when I got by him, ripping down the road at me, and I could go in another way and climb over the railings. And one time I came that way, and he was in the field. And I jumped over, and he seen me. Rex Ryan, booting after me. I ran to the railings, jumped over. So when I was coming into the way I've always came, this is the way. If his they lived on the bottom. Where he lived was there. I'd walk all around just to see, could I see him? Right? And he'd be asleep because he was a big lump of a dog. And I'd go across the block. Somehow he knew. And I know, and I just lived in the next hall. And if I got to my hall, I was safe. I am telling you, he'd look. I'd be like, get to the hall. I'd run into the hall. And he'd always stop at the hall. I'm telling you, this went on for years. When I said, I don't know how I remembered his name this morning. When I remembered his name this morning, Rex Ryan, a sweat came over me. When I was typing it. This was torment for years. Couldn't go into my own block in peace. This dog. But see, every time I got to the hall, he'd stop. I knew I was safe. There was times I even looked over the balcony and go, see you. One day I'll have my victory. Thank God they moved out of flats. Wasn't sorry to see him or his family go. Sorry. It's only joking. And listen to what the scripture says. The name of the Lord is a high tower. And when the righteous are in trouble and they run into him, they're safe. Whatever Rex Ryan is after you, whatever is trying to bring you back into captivity or restraints and constraints, run into the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Run. Don't walk. Don't slaughter thinking, oh, I'll get there eventually. You wouldn't do that if Rex Ryan was after you. It's like I'm being tempted. Lord, I love you. It's not being tempted. I wonder what that's like. Remember what that used to feel like. Do you hear me? Do you hear what I'm saying? Wait on the Lord. David says in Psalm 40, I waited patiently on the Lord. God answered Moses and says to him, Moses, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Moses ran into the name of the Lord and Moses was safe. He says, wait and see the salvation of God. David says, I waited patiently on the Lord. Wait on God. Wait on God. Wait on God. No matter what you're going through, he says, I waited patiently on the Lord. He turned and heard my cry. It says that he was in the mud, in the mire. He didn't deny his circumstances. He says, look, Lord, you know I love you. You know where I'm at in life. I'm in need. I'm in a pit. Lord, I'm looking to you because you're my answer. You're the only one that can get me out of this mud wire. You're the only one that can get my feet out of this thing. You're the only one that can get me moving again. And he said he waited on God and waited on God, and God turned and heard his cry. You have never said a prayer that God has not heard. You've never cried a tear that God has not seen and bottled up. Never. He says he turned and he heard my cry. And not only did he that, but he lifted me out of that pit. And he lifted me out of the mud and he lifted me out of the mire and he set my feet on a rock. He gave me security. He gave me a place to stand where I'm not going to fall around, but it was firm. It wasn't like the mud. It wasn't like the pit. It wasn't like the mire where I'd nearly get out and slip again. But this was more secure because God went to war on his behalf. He said, no piss zone is going to keep you in. No mud is going to keep you down because I'm going to reach down and I'm going to grab you. But Lord, I don't even deserve it, but you're still mine. No, I'm not a good Christian, but you're still mine. I've not prayed hard, but you're still mine. I died for you. I gave my son for you. Think I'm going to leave you there? You cry out, I answer. And this is what else he says in Psalm 40. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God. You know what God done? He saved him from singing the blues to actually singing a great song. He said he put a new word in my mouth, a new testimony of God's greatness and God's goodness. If you wait, God will act on your behalf. And not only will he act on your behalf, but he'll give you a new song to sing. If you stand firm, believe in God, believe that he has the best for you, and he will give you a victory song, a testimony to God, of God, about God, to other people. I thought you were gone. I thought you were never going to make it. What happened, y'all? I cried out to God. I don't live in the pit anymore. I've no constraints anymore. You put a new song in your mouth. You will have victory over your enemies. God's testimony through Moses was, God will fight for you on your behalf. In Exodus, the same. Not only was Moses' testimony about God, that God will fight. Listen to what his enemy said in chapter 14, verse 25. The Egyptian says, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against us. Not only was it Moses' testimony about God, but now the enemy of the Israelites were saying, getting away from them, God is with them. God is for them. Your enemy will declare that God is on your side. Your enemy will say, I'm going to have to give up the pursuit of them because God is with them. And not only that, in Exodus 15, when they got over the other side, Moses and the Israelites sang this song, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, that he has hurled my enemy into the raging sea. Not only was Moses' testimony about God fighting on behalf, but the enemy was testifying about God fighting on their behalf. And not only were Moses saying it and the enemy saying it, but now the people sang this great song that God is for us. And if God is for me, who can stand against me? Because the enemy that came with their chariots and all the might of Egypt and Pharaoh at the front of them, God wiped them all out of it. Why? Because God went to war on my behalf and on your behalf. He loves us. And the Lord will fight, and he will give you a testimony of his goodness, of his mercy, and of his grace. He will give you a testimony, a victory song, that you will say, once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was in the pit, but now I'm on a rock. Once I was in the desert, but God brought me through the sea. He'll move heaven and hell to get you to where he wants you. You cry out to him, run to him, walk with him, believe, trust him. There's nowhere that we cannot go in God. Absolutely nothing that can keep us down if we keep walking with him. And I love this. I just found this. It's in chapter 12, I believe. And it says when they were coming out of Egypt that God seen all his army marching out of Egypt. And I thought, hang on. They weren't an army walking out. They were slaves. Isn't that what it says? 430 years of slavery. Like, that's in the psyche. And it says that God's seeing his divisions, or his army, your translation may say divisions, his army marching out of Egypt. Do you know why? God could see the future. God could see the future. And he could see them not just as they were, but as they were going to be, or what they were going to become. And they were walking out slaves, and God was saying, look at the army. You're in the pit, and you're going, I'm never going to get out of this. And God's saying, look at that person that's going to move heaven and earth for other people. Look at that young person. They think they're only young, and God says, he's going to be used by me. Little baby in the pram, throwing a rattler out of pram, and God sees her in her future. And you might see where I'm at is the end, but God never sees at the end. He's the beginning and the end. You may say, I'm in incredible pain. But God doesn't only see you in your pain. He sees you outside of the pain. You say, there's a cap on my life, and God sees you beyond the cap on your life. There's constraints on my life, and God, that's why prophecy. That's why people say, you are going to do great things for God when it's in God. Not just anybody saying it. But when it's in God and someone says, you're going to do great things for God. You know why he says that? Because he wants to put that in you now. He wants to put the future in you now so that when you go through the mud and the mire in the desert and the enemy's on your tail and Rex Ryan is coming against you, then you can look forward to the future and say, no, God has said he's going to use me. So this pit is not my destination. This situation is not my destination. This failure is not my destination because God has spoken. Isn't he great? Isn't he just altogether lovely? Father, we thank you for your goodness. I thank you that my God goes to war on my behalf. I thank you, Lord, that there's no person here that if they're a Christian, can ever, ever live in the place that they're on their own. You're never, ever on your own. Because this God lives inside of us.